Football Friday is here. It's time for Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas.
What did you average, Chuck? A triple single?
I'm not happy about it. I really am not happy about it.
Memphis, 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 Memphis. Hey. Nothing but Memphis, the beautiful land in the world.
I'm getting tired of this crap.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hours here, Golden Nugget. We're right out in front of the Cadillac Mexican Kitchen. Happy hour is rolling on. $4 and $5 on the beer. Margaritas, $5. And all the happy hour food is less than $7. Come on down, get those Cantina beef nachos. We're about 30 minutes away from giving you one of the quotes of the century that just came down. That's coming up around 5:30. It's Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
One of the sports quotes of the century. Yep.
Wow.
That's on the way. I don't think it's too much of a buildup. Shocking. Shocking. Well, you had a great story today about college basketball. And, you know, it's a good life lesson, Adam. And you and I have learned this many times. Every one of your encounters throughout life can turn out to be much bigger than you ever expected. People can turn into something you never thought they would turn into. Maybe you don't recognize someone. That could be the chance encounter that's, you know, crazy when you look back on it. I'm building it up a little bit, but you know, Jim Boeheim, the Syracuse coach, has kind of turned into a even more crotchety old, I'll hold back the language, than he was, say, 20 years ago. And
the curmudgeonly puke.
Maybe there's a recent case of him being a curmudgeon that's cost him.
Yeah, only a few years back, because when he was in eighth grade, Isaiah Stewart was an upstate New York kid living in Rochester.
Who was Isaiah Stewart?
Well, I'll get to it. He was just a kid, eighth grader, living in Rochester, upstate New York. Saw Jim Boeheim, who, you know, in upstate New York, he is it in the basketball world. Isaiah Stewart, being a young basketball player, was like, hey, that's Jim Boeheim. I want to get a photo. Mr. Boeheim, can I get a photo? Get away, kid. Now, it wasn't quite like that. In fact, according to this kid, it was just that he was busy. He was with his family. He was trying to watch a basketball game. He's like, no, I'm good now. I'm enjoying this time. Not taking any photos. But it stuck in his mind because now Isaiah Stewart, top basketball prospect, is deciding where to go to school. Should I go to the local school, Syracuse? Should I go play there? No. That guy didn't take a photo with me. I'm going to go to Washington. And now he's averaging 18 points a game at Washington as a freshman. And Jim Boeheim never had a chance because he didn't take a photo with the kid.
And Jim Boeheim's big stink. And his roster is not what they're accustomed to in upstate New York at Syracuse. And
no.
You know, funny enough, Mike Hopkins has gone in multiple times into upstate New York and pulled out players. So
Hopkins probably said, which
is embarrassing for the Syracuse program.
Hopkins probably said, you know what? I would have taken a photo with you. Come out here and play with me.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Good job, Jim. All right, next up.
Number four.
Will that guy ever learn? Will he ever learn, Adam Hill? Will he ever learn? Well, we have a coach here that you can absolutely love.
Yeah.
Pete DeBoer. He's my guy. What have you seen me wear?
Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Pete.
PDB. When have you ever seen me wear Golden Knight swag?
Never.
I had a VGK hat on last night, a Pizza Rock. Tonight, this nice Golden Knight sweatshirt.
Yeah.
I'm in, baby.
You're all in.
I am in.
You love PDB.
I can't wait to cover this team when they come back home.
You can actually go to a game? Look at you. Sit in on the press conference?
We'll see what's awaiting. We'll see what's going to happen.
I like it.
We'll see how into this I am. So far, so good.
Well,
yeah, Ottawa stinks. So what? But they smashed them. Pete got the job done.
Prickly Pete is right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
Little crotchety sometimes.
Okay.
Snap sometimes. It's just like you.
Have I ever dealt with crotchety coaches and subjects?
Sure.
It's okay.
Why not?
Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm not here to be anyone's friend, nor is the coach. We'll get along fine. If the, I don't know if the, you know, like you, you know, you're very sensitive. I don't, if you're well, trying to forge some friendship with Pete DeBoer, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't care. You know, I just want someone to win. It's kind of and my now MO. We got our guy.
It's kind of my MO. Be the friend of the subject.
No, sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Well, leads to lots of awkward moments.
No, but I mean, some people think that they're friends with the players and the coaches. Some think they're covering them like I did.
Now, of course, Adam Hill has to overthink things. And already your impression of Pete DeBoer is what? He's having too much fun. He's being a little too goofy for your liking.
I think he's trying too hard. I think
he laughed a lot at that question.
I know.
Yesterday before the game, where there was a media member reading him some quotes from current Golden Knights players who said they didn't like him or they hadn't liked him. It's going to be a process here, and he was just like, ah, 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 ah. It's like the ex-girlfriend, the old ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Didn't like that.
Well, it's that. It's all. I mean, but if it's the one thing, it's fine. But it's hitting the smelling salts on the bench with the guys, like being one of the guys. Hey, look, everybody. Hey, Golden Knights fans. I'm one of the guys with your boys out here. And then
I like it. That's my kind of coach.
The after the game, did Ryan Reeves offer to hug you? Because Ryan Reeves said they're going to hug it out at some point. And he said, yeah, but I declined. Like, stop it. Just stop.
Well, there's a line. There's a line. We're having fun, but we're not going to hug because I am an authority figure. I mean, through a day and a half here with Pete DeBoer, I'm in.
Well,
I love everything I'm seeing from
him. I've told you in the past, the first year during the playoffs, I was the opposing beat writer during the playoff run. I covered the Sharks for, you know, 2.5 weeks. Was at every practice with Pete DeBoer, every media availability. I kind of liked him. I kind of liked the impression that I got. It was a different kind of guy to cover.
Refreshing from what you were normally covering?
He wasn't like this. Now, this. It just feels to me, and we'll see when he settles in more, it feels to me that he's coming in and he's reading the situation of like, hey, I know what people think of me here. I'm going to be happy, jovial guy here for a couple days, and let's laugh it up and get everybody to kind of like me right here, which I guess maybe there's a method to that or whatever. I just think, do you. Just come in and be you.
Maybe it's a new you, me. For him, it's a new me.
I just feel
I've learned. Like, I had some time away from the sport, like a whole month, and now I'm going to change.
I mean, he's been coaching for 30 years.
And it's a different market. He was in San Jose. It's kind of a dour, sour place. The fans there are creeps.
Is it?
It's very uplifting here.
I don't know if that's true.
It's very uplifting here.
I don't know. I just think he needs to be more himself. It seems like he's trying kind of hard right now. And just settle in and win. All that's going to matter, even if you're laughing it up and joking and people like you, if you're not winning, they don't care. So just win, be yourself, and go out there and do what your job is.
I want him to win. And I think he's going to win, but I think that stuff matters. And if he's a 500 coach, I'm still going to respect him. I'm going to fight for the man.
Then do you.
I'm down with PDB. Top three stories.
Number three.
All right, do we approach the story like the level-headed sports talk host we are, or do we go hot take, hot shot?
Are we?
Kyler Murray talking about football and baseball. Could he play both at the same time? He says, I think I could. Athletically, yeah, I think I could do it. I've been playing both my whole life. I would love to add that to the resume. All right, let's do hot take, hot shot. You weren't that good as a rookie, Kyler Murray. You worry about football. How dare you talk about double dipping? How dare you? Now people are looking at me like, who's the psycho?
Now,
that's hot take,
hot
shot.
Wait, hold on. Am I supposed to, if we're going to take this out, do I come back and say, Steve, he's a great athlete. He showed that he can play in the NFL, and people said he couldn't do it. Now he can show that he can play baseball. I think he can do it. Is that how we do it?
Like, let's go to the phones. Adam Hill's a moron.
Take each side and just go at it and not really believe in an argument?
Sure.
Okay.
My take on this is a kind of a throwaway comment. From a reality standpoint, he was solid as a rookie, not great. He has a lot of work to get done at the quarterback position. Even if he turns into an outstanding quarterback, the comparison here is being made to Deion Sanders.
Right.
Deion was a cornerback.
Right.
No way a quarterback in season is going to be taking a few days off here or there to fly all over the country and play baseball.
But not even a normal cornerback, Steve. Like, even a normal cornerback, I think, would be in a position where it would be very tough for them to do. Deion, if you remember, was more just like, hey, go cover the guy on that side of the field. You don't even have to worry about what the rest of the defense does. You're on an island. Go do your thing and get out there. There's no zones. There's no, like, blitz packages for him at corner. It's like, just go lock up with that guy and play him. And then you go play baseball and you go on both. For a quarterback to try to do this is insane. Now, I think he should just quit football and go play baseball anyway. I thought that from the beginning. I thought he should play baseball. He was fine this year. He's better than I thought he would be this year. I thought he was pretty good. He showed a lot of potential, and he could get a lot better. I still think you play baseball because there's more money per year. There's a longer career. There's less impact after your career. All of those things, I think you should play baseball, and I still think you should leave football and go play baseball. But if you're going to play football and make a run as a quarterback, you can't also play baseball.
Top two stories.
Number two.
I'm rubbing my temples.
No, you're not.
Yeah, no, I just was. Anticipating the delivery of the story and my reaction, because we are in a public place, and while I was faking hot take, hot shot screaming, this one could be bad. What are you guys reporting right now about the stadium, the Raiders, the relationship with UNLV, the upcoming UNLV schedule, which has them playing Cal on August 29th, and then back-to-back games involving La Tech and Arizona State? What's the latest now?
The headline, Raiders standing firm on Allegiant Stadium access for UNLV.
So there could be a case here of restricting access to our local university playing in the stadium that we put up $750 million for.
The August 29th game against Cal is not in dispute. That will be at Allegiant Stadium. The next 2 weeks, La Tech on the 5th, Arizona State on the 12th. As of right now, the Raiders are saying, nah.
It's a hard nah.
It's a hard nah.
Okay, give me the reason. I got to hear something good here. $750 million, public money. This was the agreement. They get to share the stadium with you.
The Raiders are reserving.
Can I remind everyone? Las Vegas, it's all for you, the stadium. It's all for you. That doesn't feel like the tone here. Keep going.
The Raiders are reserving access to the stadium for those weekends.
Well, what's scheduled? What's scheduled on Saturdays
that would
prevent UNLV playing on September 5th and 12th?
According to team president Mark Badain of the Raiders, we may need that for concerts or other events.
Look at your laugh. You got to see him, folks. He's just beside himself.
You never know what's going to come up.
Well, just how flippant it sounds. Like, we might have something going
concerts,
on there.
Concerts? I don't know, something. Park, play around in the park or something.
We'll give you a heads up. We'll give you a heads up that week if you can play football here, UNLV.
Might have a convention. I don't know. Could be anything there. We might want to go sit with our family and just kind of take a tour.
Read the quote again.
I moved down to the next quote to read. Quote from Mark Badain. We may need it for concerts or other events.
That's okay. There was a really disturbing "we" earlier from a media member, which we didn't really shine a spotlight on. What is "we"?
Raiders.
We may need it.
The Raiders may need it.
We.
I don't know what for.
It's all for you, Las Vegas.
Could be anything, really.
It's all for you. Your publicly funded stadium.
Jonathan Aber might want to run stairs or something.
Oh my
God!
What
do we do? We may need it for concerts or other events.
You were scrolling down. What other lunacy is here?
Well, the Raiders at this point, because last time this story came up a few weeks ago, and we talked about it, it's actually a month ago or more, the Raiders really weren't commenting officially. They were just saying, hey, it's in the contracts, whatever. No comment on this story. Now, they have gone on record, as we said, from Badain. He talked. He said, we may need it for concerts or other events. That's why it was part of the negotiation, and that's why it was specified in the stadium usage agreement. That's why it was part of the negotiation with UNLV leadership and Raider leadership and the Stadium Authority Board. Governor Sisolak was part of it, and it took place over months and months. There were hundreds of these items negotiated. And that's it.
So how do you take that?
That is a shot across the bow right at UNLV leadership.
Yep. Hey, UNLV, we got you.
Yeah, you want to play there? You should have put that in writing. Because you just kind of being vague about what's in writing and, hey, well, it's our stadium. Of course we'll play there. No. They might have concerts or other events to take place that weekend.
Maybe this will be solved.
Maybe a team picnic.
Resolved easily. It doesn't feel like it right now, right?
No. And UNLV not as abrasive in their public comments. They said, According to Desiree Reed-Francois, the university will, quote, continue to explore every option. Quote, even if we are unable to play these two games at Allegiant Stadium, we look forward to continuing a positive and productive working relationship with the Raiders. We cannot wait to start playing football in the world's finest stadium. Sounds like a very productive and positive relationship they got going on.
Top story.
Number one.
The other top story. The NFC Championship game. Green Bay take it on the Niners. Niners are laying 8 here at the Golden Nugget Sportsbook. I thought this was a hell of a flag to plant by Colin Cowherd talking about Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't seem real confident that the Packers have a chance to win this game.
This is why McDonald's tried McLobster and McDonald's tried McPizza. They have such a lead on Wendy's and Burger King. When you're a legend, swing, baby, swing. Aaron Rodgers has become safe.
Okay, we'll build on that. He says Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback he used to be. He's too safe. He's talking about McLobster and McPizza. We'll follow up on that. And then we got a special guest who's chiming in around 5:35 tonight. But we'll break down these NFL games. I know what side I'm on the or in the NFC Championship game. I think Adam might be with me.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Now, back to the Golden Nugget Las Vegas for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
So we were just joking earlier about that Kyler Murray story that he was saying, hey, I'd like to be Deion someday, you know, play in both the NFL and Major League Baseball at the same time. So we ripped him, a la hot take, hot shot. I mean, I think it was a throwaway comment, so we're kind of playing around. Every once in a while, we need the hot taker on the show.
Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy. We're too level-headed, but we need it. And, man, listening to Colin Cowherd this morning, and you can hear him every day over on Fox Sports Las Vegas, I was like, wow, this is a really interesting angle he's taking on Aaron Rodgers. So you just heard a bite from Colin that he thinks Aaron Rodgers plays it too safe now. So let's keep going as he clearly is angling towards picking against the Niners.
We know he's talented, but Aaron has to take big swings this weekend. Last week, Minnesota played scared. Aaron Rodgers has become too safe. Whatever it is, 4 or 5 years ago, he became paralyzed by not throwing picks and throwing it away. You got to throw Aaron to more than Devontae Adams because San Francisco, their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo.
We cut it off right there. What do you? Because I want you to answer that. Jimmy Garoppolo?
I hope he's not going to say he takes those chances. I mean, it clearly would mean he didn't watch the game.
He's down on Aaron Rodgers. He likes Jimmy G. He doesn't think Aaron Rodgers takes enough chances anymore. He's become an ordinary guy. He's more, you know, worried about game managing and not tossing interceptions. Yeah, keep going. Here's the final comment from Mr. Cowherd.
Garoppolo has a better roster and will take big swings. I've said this about Jimmy G. The gap between Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers is not nearly as big as you think, and I'm not sure there is one. Because Jimmy G understands when you have a defense as good as I have and you have a coach like Kyle Shanahan, you got to swing, baby. You got to take some risks.
All right.
He doesn't.
There's no gap between Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow. I mean, put Aaron Rodgers in that system. Seriously. That's where that's ignorant. Switch the quarterbacks, and that's, you will see how ridiculous.
What would the spread be? Aaron Rodgers led Niners against Jimmy G led Packers. 12?
13, 14, yeah. Two touchdowns. I mean, that's a preposterous comparison because of that. And now he did point out they have a better roster. But if you watch last week, Garoppolo had a really good first drive. Then he was awful. He threw a horrific pick. And then did not throw a pass beyond the line of scrimmage for two quarters. That's taking swings? That's taking shots? What is he talking about? I want to look at air yards per attempt. I'll try to find it maybe during the break. But
yeah, I've said from the very beginning, and I know it's a very square take because I'm basing it a lot on Aaron Rodgers, And, you know, Colin's telling you there that he's a different quarterback the last 4 years. His QBR's been sinking. I do not believe in Garoppolo enough in this spot that he's going to beat the Packers. And I've seen the Packers numbers. I know the books have not been high on the Packers all year long. I'm not saying load up on the money line, but do I believe the Packers will compete with the Niners inside of 8 or 7.5? Yes, and they did get their ass kicked less than 60 days ago, 37-8, and Rodgers was limited and terrible and sacked all over the field. But I do believe there's something to be in here in this spot in the past, and Jimmy G is still on the ascent. And I think there's going to be a couple of, you know, rocky moments before the Niners are giant winners and Jimmy G is crowned as a top 10 quarterback. I still trust in Aaron Rodgers, and to your point, you know, you made it multiple times today. When you watch the end of that game last week, Aaron Rodgers made the passes he needed to make, and those were, there were some risky throws in there, but he made them. He can still get it done.
By the way, third to last in the league in intended air yards, Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not that hard to find. How would it take, 30 seconds? Not that hard to find. What are you talking about?
Takes risk, unlike
you,
Aaron Rodgers.
You could just say whatever you want. There's actually numbers that back these things up. Third to last in the league. He's only ahead of Teddy Bridgewater and Derek Carr. He's third to last.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty well established that Jimmy G, at least right now, is a caretaker of the offense.
Aaron Rodgers, seventh in the league in intended air yards. Jimmy Garoppolo, third to last. But just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's just a preposterous notion.
I built something up as the quote of the century from a sports standpoint. Well, for Las Vegas it is. On the way back, you got to hear what Raj, the boss of the NFL, said about gambling and the National Football League.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
Second down and six. Pass wide open. Adams makes the catch. Makes a move. Sprinting for the end zone.
Now, back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
Just saw a quote come down about 25 minutes ago. Listen to this one. We think sports gambling in many ways creates a lot more engagement for our fans. It's another opportunity for them to engage with our game. What a progressive person. That's amazing. Wouldn't it be great if the NFL had leadership thinking like that, right? They've been so damn stubborn when it comes to gambling, Vegas, and the NFL. Yeah, that was Roger Goodell. He said that. After all you've put us through, Raj.
He's always thought that way, Steve.
I'm reading the quote on Raj Marchese's Twitter account.
Screw that guy.
LA Times. I'll just say a text last night. I'm not going to say when, but it was a request to call in. Wanted to talk. He didn't even know this Roger Goodell quote was coming, so maybe he's got a crystal ball. Raj, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. At least I have something newsworthy to talk about. But when I sent you that text, I had the most amazing night. So I went to a very nice restaurant last night at a very nice hotel and casino on the Strip. And a gentleman comes to me and he goes, have you been on Cofield and Company? And I'm like, yeah, love that show. Love going on Cofield and Company. And he's like, yeah, you're great. I really don't like his co-host. And I'm like, are you talking about, like, my man Adam Hill? He's like, yeah, he's such a contrarian, and then like we really developed like such a bond over our mutual dislike for Adam Hill. It was such a great moment, and he's like, listen, your money's no good here. Next time you come here, like, you know, so like I developed such a great relationship because of my relationship with Cofield and Company. So I wanted to thank you for that.
So wait, I think what that means is that now you owe me dinner. if I got you free dinner.
No.
That is true. That is true.
I was going to say, not at that place, though.
But if Adam shows up,
the problem,
Adam, is I can't take you to this restaurant because apparently this person doesn't like your
I have noticed, though, like when people say that and then they actually do meet me, then they kind of like me.
Oh, exactly. No. You're 100% right on that. Yeah, I've seen that on social media where someone will come up and be like, hey, listen, you blocked me. And I'm like, Jesus, what the heck? This person has said that for me to block them. They seem nice, but now they want me to like gun block them. But yeah, but I wanted to thank you, Adam, and thank you, Steve Kofield.
No problem.
You got it. All right. So what was this from Roger Goodell? This is mind blowing.
Yeah. Right. So Roger Goodell spoke to the Las Vegas. The
Chamber of Commerce
today, and really for the first time, felt comfortable saying the Las Vegas Raiders. He did not say the Oakland Raiders, obviously. I think officially still they cannot sell any merchandise or do anything on social media until the new league year in March. But the commissioner for the first time was like, they're officially the Las Vegas Raiders. So, that quote that I just tweeted as I was going through his half hour up there was, that was not his stance on sports gambling as we know a couple years ago. That is now... They have an official sponsorship deal with Caesars, and they're here in Las Vegas. A couple of interesting notes that we can maybe touch on is, like, I'm pretty convinced the Pro Bowl is going to come here next year. Like, I know that's not a great game, but still, it'll be cool if, like, Las Vegas is now the future home of the Pro Bowl. It seemed like that'll probably happen next year. 2025, I would look towards that date as when the Super Bowl is going to come here. So just, like, a lot of exciting... things that are coming down for Las Vegas soon.
How was the discussion in general?
It was good. I mean, I just think, it's an exciting time for Las Vegas, and I think everyone in the room is just excited about the opening of the stadium, which looks like it'll be done on time. You know, the only thing that they won't be able to do that they're going to do at SoFi Stadium is have maybe a show or a concert beforehand. I mean, you generally like to have some type of event before the first football game. That may not happen, but I don't think there's any worry. I mean, I talked to Mark Papadei and Mark Davis afterwards. They're confident that stadium will be done on time.
Do they not think it will be done in time to have a big event, though?
That's the one thing that they can't plan. And to be honest, guys, like I don't know how you do that like last second. So.
Right.
My assumption is the first event at the stadium will be a preseason game. Again, generally, most of these stadiums or facilities like to host a concert, but like you kind of have to have that booked right now. So my assumption is, and by the way, it's a preseason game. If the toilets don't work in a preseason game, who cares?
I think people will care.
I mean, people will care, but listen, it's a preseason game. If you have to leave at the half because... the things are not working properly, like it's a preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, in your garbage stadium in L.A., Ross, then that's
$5 billion. That's more than twice as much as this. And by the way, we got parking. We don't have to have a press conference on Wednesday to, like, announce something about that.
Wow, look at Ross. Wow. Mr. Vegas, but sometimes... well, that's why you're Mr. Vegas, though. You tell it like it is. Arash is a columnist for the LA Times, formerly with ESPN. You've had so many good topics to cover in LA. You've been spitting fire. This latest one, the Dodgers and the World Series and what the Astros did with this cheating scandal, I know has LA just blowing up right now.
Exactly. You know, to be honest, Steve, it's more frustration than anything else. We got the stupid politicians in Los Angeles are trying to say we should be awarded the championship. That ship has failed. What's done is done. I don't want a championship parade or a shirt or a trophy or a T-shirt or whatever. What's done is done. I do think Houston should have that title vacated. Now, you know, generally speaking, that's more of like a college sports thing. But when you look at the level to which that team cheated, they should not have a championship trophy at their stadium. They should not have something commemorating that. They should not have a 25th reunion for that team. Like, they should just vacate that title.
Well, what happens when they vacate it? They give it to the Dodgers, and then they find out the Dodgers were cheating.
No. You don't award it. If it's vacated, I don't want it. I don't think any member of the Dodgers wants that trophy. So okay. As weird as it would seem, and it would be unprecedented, they did it in the strike year where they didn't even have a World Series champion. So listen, it's not that unprecedented. You just would not have a champion for the year 2017.
Should Astros players be suspended?
100%, but that's not going to happen, you know, because, I mean, everyone on that roster knew about it, and if they weren't involved with it, obviously they knew about it, but, like, you're not going to suspend, like, the entire team. So as much as I would like to see them be punished, with the players' union being what it is and the fact that you just can't suspend, like, an entire team for a season, that's just not going to happen.
But it's a rough sports existence at times for Arash. Let's talk USC, as you had to sit there and watch Ed O win a national title.
Well, here's the thing. So, like, I was super happy for him. I mean, just as, like, a man and as a coach and what, you know, who he is, like, I was really happy for him. But just further bummed that USC bungled that, and obviously I never miss a chance to retweet my column from back in the day where I basically told Pat Hayden, this is your guy, you found your coach. You don't need to search for a Steve Sarkisian. Or whoever else he was looking at the time, like, you have your guys. So I'm frustrated for USC where they're at. It does seem, however, that they're trying to clean up the athletic department and then maybe look towards hiring a new coach next year. But, yeah, listen, they had their guy. They had their guy, and they blew their chance.
Please don't tell me that it couldn't have been the only reason, but one of the big reasons USC kind of looked down their nose at Orgeron is because of the way he speaks.
Well, no one knows how he talks, you know? Nobody...
Good impression.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Arash,
with
the show
it.
On the strip it's... soon. Man of a Thousand Voices. I love it. The new Rich Little.
One team, one heartbeat, one family. But, you know, the frustrating thing is I wouldn't doubt that. Those got that country club mentality. The, like, look at who they hired. They hired Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. Like, they hired guys that they could, you know, take out to these corporate events and country clubs and whatnot, speaking engagements. So it wouldn't shock me. You know, it would be upsetting if that was the reason. I mean, the guy has a track record of being a fantastic coach and an amazing recruiter. And, guys, this is why I just think that Clay Helton shouldn't have continued as a coach. They are not even in the top 75 in recruiting. Like, that is unacceptable. At a school like USC, even Paul Hackett recruited top 10 class.
Last one, Arash. Who's going to win the McGregor fight? Well, I think McGregor's going to win it. Is it going to be a slaughter or a competitive fight?
I think it'll be a competitive fight. I got McGregor, the column that I got in the paper tomorrow. I mean, you know, a lot of questions have been about boxing, you know, about what is McGregor going to do? Is he going to fight Manny Pacquiao? Is he going to fight Floyd Mayweather? Is boxing going to be something? And so, as amazing a moment as this is for McGregor and UFC and all that, so much of the focus has been on, like, not if he's going to fight, like, Khabib again or Tony Ferguson. It's going to be like, are you going to fight Floyd? Are you going to fight Pacquiao? And so I thought that was kind of interesting. I know Dana doesn't want him to do that. He just wants him to focus on UFC, but I mean, as we know, that if he were to step back into boxing with a rematch against Floyd or a fight against Pacquiao, that would be massive. That would be a huge draw.
What have you thought about calm, quiet, on time Connor?
I know, not only that, Adam, like, he apologized today for being late to the weigh-in, and I'm like, you know, and he shook the Cowboy's hand. It's weird, so I'm really hoping for a heel turn again on Saturday, because I do not like this new calm, quiet, on time Conor McGregor. This is not good for me. I like the outlandish, abrasive, outspoken Conor McGregor.
Arash, good job, man. Enjoy your time in Vegas. We'll see
you. Thanks. I promise I won't text you at 2 a.m. tonight. I promise. All right, guys.
Oh, you can do it.
Talk to you soon.
I'll probably be out with you. Yeah, there you go.
Bye.
Arash Marchese, columnist with the L.A. Times. Things are on fire in the L.A. market, and we know he's Mr. Vegas as well. He's in town for the fight. On the way back, we have a couple of minutes. We'll see if we can get to what Adam Hill believes is the story of the day. It's a big news side story, and that was that new music video, new song that dropped from Eminem.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So I got a text from the LA Times columnist late into the night. He just said it, 2 in the morning. It's like, I want to come on. Okay. I also got a weird text a little earlier, and I had no idea what Adam was saying. It was something about some song that was out. Give us a little sample of Eminem out of nowhere. I guess this song and video came out yesterday.
I don't want to be alone in the darkness anymore. Here I am alone again. Can't get out of this hole I'm in. It's like the walls are closing in. You can't help me, no one can. I can feel these curtains closing. I go to open them, but something pulls them closed again. Feels like I'm loathing in Las Vegas. Haven't got the Vegas, why I'm so lost. But I'd make you this small wager. If I bet you I'll be in tomorrow's paper, who would the odds favor?
All right, so Eminem, he's in Vegas. The video's in Vegas. He's in a hotel room. He's talking about the darkness. He's talking about drinking and drugging it up and insecurities and inside his own head. And then the video takes a twist, big time twist.
Wait, the... Which twist? I mean, it's clearly...
I didn't get it early on. I was just, okay. I thought it was like, hey, performer, you know, struggling with anxiety, drinking, drugging, you know, maybe on his last legs, like, that's it, well, I'm done.
Even the beginning there, I mean, and you're right. I mean, I listened to, like, the first, you know, 20 seconds and heard, you know, the hook in the first couple of lines, and I was like, this is great, and I tweeted out, wow, first thing off the new album, awesome. I'm going to listen to the rest of it.
Yeah, I thought it was about mental illness. This is cool.
And then I went back in, and it's clearly from the perspective of the Las Vegas shooter. It's told, like, from being in the hotel room, and the whole video is a reenactment of the shooting, essentially. I mean, there's creative liberties taken from some of it, but absolutely it's a retelling of the shooting. And it's at the very end, when you get to it, it is a very strong anti-gun message. And it basically is saying, like, I hope you're mad about this. I hope this hits your emotions. That's what I'm trying to do, because every time these things happen, we're all mad and worked up for like a day. And it's like, all right, that's over. Like, do something. And so it is a call to action for sure. This whole album, it dropped out of nowhere last night around 9 o'clock our time. He just threw an Instagram post and a Twitter post out and said, here it is, come get it. I got it. The entire album is amazing. His best work in a long, long time. But, man, this story, I knew it blew up. I started calling people at the paper last night, said we have to get a story up about this immediately. I think it's the number one story on our website right now. Like, people are very emotional and very into it, and they should be. But I think go listen to it and listen all the way through. Don't just say, how can you make a song about this? Listen to it.
Four questions, rapid fire. Is it too soon to replicate the Vegas massacre? Is Eminem profiting off of tragedy? Should musicians stick to music? And will folks under 40 actually be mobilized by something Eminem is saying? Because at the end, he's like, go vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about the first couple of questions? Too soon?
No.
What are you doing?
The whole thing is basically saying, like, you need to be emotional about this. This needs to hit you. It should hit you. I'm trying to make it hit you. And I know it's very different for people here than it is across the country. But, man, I think if you get past the how could you possibly do this and actually just listen to what he's saying. And I know some people are not going to like it just because of the political message, anti-gun message, that's fine. But it's more of a call to, hey, when these things happen, anything happens, get emotional and do something. And don't just get mad for a day. Do something about it.
Get on down here to the Golden Nugget this weekend. Ambrosia tonight. We'll see you.